T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's go back out to the desert, Shane.
We love the excitement that not only is coming out of that clubhouse, but from our fans as well. I know there's been various podcasts talking about whether we're ready to win.
Wow, getting name checked by the general manager of the White Sox. So our next guest. That's what he was talking about. Make no mistake. Rick Hahn was talking about the White Sox Talk podcast. One half of that podcast is our friend Chuck Garfine. The other half of that podcast is my man Ryan McGuffey, senior producer at NBC Sports, Chicago. He's in Arizona. He hosts the White Sox Talk podcast, but he's actually been going back and forth between the two camps. He joins me now on the Ed Napleton Automotive Group Hotline with locations throughout Chicagoland. Visit ednapleton.com. Guff, my man, what's up?
What is up, Lawrence? How you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm not getting name-checked by Rick Hahn, though. I mean, didn't Rick offer to come on the show if you guys are doing karaoke or something, and now he's name-checking you in press conferences?
And that's confirmed. He has confirmed he will do that. It wasn't just a bit. He said he will be our next big guest on a live location, as long as it includes karaoke. Afterwards, it won't include him singing, but he said that's the stipulation, which I told him I'm happy to oblige and let him pick the song. So,
okay, of that is fair. Is it fair to say was Rick right in his assessment that the White Sox Talk podcast has been very excited about what might happen in 2018 for the White Sox?
Well, we did have an episode, I think a week ago, maybe a week and a half ago, kind of, talking about can they compete. And I know we just heard the sound there, but there was also a nod, not necessarily a wink, but it was kind of a nod in our direction, that just in case we didn't pick up on the non-subtle hint he was dropping, he was obviously making a move towards the White Sox Talk podcast. So. Yeah. I mean, Rick's very much aware of what's going on. I mean, he listens here and there, and I mean, he's not the only one. They know what's being talked about.
So what's got you guys so positive? Because look, I was in the office last week before you guys left for AZ, and mm-hmm. Chuck like stopped me. And I was talking with Sierra about something, and Chuck like stopped me, and he's like, you know, the White Sox are going to be better than people think. And I was like, oh, really? So, look, I'm going out to Vegas in the next few days. I see that 66.5 win total, and I feel like pounding the over on that.
I would pound. Pound is, I mean, I don't know, I never say bet the mortgage, but I love the over. I mean, all day. And let me preface that by saying, when I say I love the over, I think if everything goes absolutely 100% perfectly right, 77-85 feels good. Like, that feels about right if everything checks out. But baseball is unpredictable, as we all know. I still think 66.5. I've seen anywhere from 66.5 to 68.5. And I like the over on all. I just think they're a 70-win team at least. 70-74 feels pretty good. There's a lot of uncertainty in the rotation. They're young. You get Giolito, Lopez, and Fulmer. And you can't just assume that they're going to pick up where they left off. I think there's going to be some growing pains in there. I mean, that rotation's bookended with James Shields and Miguel Gonzalez, which I know makes people probably cringe if they're driving or listening at home, specifically with Shields. But there's a lot of respect for James Shields in terms of the veteran presence he brings in that clubhouse. And I think, Lawrence, you can attest to that. I think there's just a lot to like. And then the bullpen in the last 4 to 6 weeks, with some of the moves that were made, and they brought in so many guys. I mean, obviously they're looking for the next Anthony Swarzak and stuff, but I think if Nate Jones is healthy, and that's a big if because he hasn't been lately, what that does for the back end of the bullpen. You have, you know, Joaquin Soria. I think that makes his role more solidified. It becomes a formidable back end of the bullpen. I just 66.5 doesn't feel good. I just love the over. And the way that they don't quit for Ricky, and there's so much Ricky love and talk, and I think it's like these guys really believe in Rick Renteria, and they bring it up unprompted. Give me 66.5 and the over all day.
What's interesting in Glendale?
The amount of players that are here already probably stands out to me. The fact that position players don't really have to be here till Monday. It almost feels like the full squad's been here. I mean, there's some obvious misses in terms of Moncada's not here, Abreu's not here. Those are the two that really kind of jump off the page. I mean, Luis Robert's not here. You know he's not going to make the Major League team, but he is invited to Major League camp. But everyone else kind of is. I mean, Yolmer Sanchez is here. Tim Anderson is here. Matt Davidson is here. Nicky Delmonico is here. Charlie Tilson is here. Adam Engel is here. Avi Garcia is here. Willian Castillo is here. So the whole team feels like they're just they've been so eager and chomping at the bit. And the whole idea of full squad reporting, that's kind of a little bit of old school in terms of, you know, everyone has to be here on one certain day anymore. Guys trickle in throughout the week, but these guys have been here the entire time. I got here on Monday late afternoon. And every day you walk in, it's like, oh, it just kind of feels like the whole team's here. And I think the sense of urgency and excitement and buzz and, I mean, look, these guys know, and Rick was very quick to bring up the word rebuild again. You know, he's like, let's not get ahead of ourselves. I'm going to use rebuild, 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 but Ricky's going to use wins as he should. I just think the amount of guys that are here really stands out to me.
Okay, I mean, and that makes sense. The guys are excited about what's going to happen with the White Sox next and this next thing. Is it hard to should it be hard for a White Sox fan to kind of try and keep their enthusiasm down, understanding that this process could take longer than people think? That this could, Rick said, this year one of a rebuild. I feel like there was so much goodwill, Guff, from White Sox fans last year, like there was a buy-in from White Sox fans saying, okay, there's a direction, we're down with it. I just don't want that goodwill to go away before it should go away.
I agree with that, but I will say this. A lot of that was kind of what was coming, the excitement of when is Moncada going to be here? When is Giolito going to get here? When is Lopez going to get here? And then you saw at some point, the stages of the call-ups. You know, first it was Moncada in July, and then the other guys came up in August. And they finished 22-22 in the last 44 games. You know, a lot of people forget about that. I mean, they were .500 the last 44 games of the season. We're not talking about like a 10-10 stretch. There was some legitimate, quantifiable win-loss total there that showed you some success. I think that's going to carry over this year because the next wave is coming. Eloy Jimenez is coming. Michael Kopech is coming. And they're coming in 2018. So, and a lot like the Moncada, Giolito, Lopez stage, the next wave is on the cusp. They're not going to break camp. But there's going to be a lot of attention on what's going on in the lower levels with these two guys specifically because they're like the next two big names. And when they make it up to the team this year, you know, it's going to be, okay, here's more proof. Here's more validity to the rebuild because here's the next wave, and then it's what's next. The depth of the rebuild and the depth of the prospects in the last 12 to 15 months has really, I think, kept the fan base energized, made it okay to buy in continuously, not just in 2017, but to look forward in 2018 and go, okay, look, it's not going to be competing for the AL Central, but what happens next year? You know, what happens next year when a lot of these guys you expect to be here are here, and then free agency and some of those big names, and when the White Sox are willing to kind of, you know, there's a lot of money off the books next year, it's not a secret. I think that people are looking at the big picture. Now, if we're talking about this exact same thing next year, you know, I don't know. That's probably a different conversation. But I think there's a lot of reason to buy into this excitement and still be excited about a team that could be 71-91.
What has to happen is – the same type of thing needs to happen in August and September, where you have a stretch where you're maybe 500 or a little bit above 500 over the last 6 weeks of the season, and you get the call-ups that you expect to get. I know that, and we're talking with Ryan McGuffey, senior producer at NBC Sports Chicago, one of the hosts of the White Sox Talk podcast. I'm a subscriber to it. You should be a subscriber as well. Give it 5 stars. It's really, really a lot of fun. You spend a lot of time with these guys. Like, you've done features with a bunch of the prospects. You've gone down south to Birmingham and Charlotte and hung out with these guys. Which player should White Sox fans be most excited about in 2018?
Kopech. I mean, I'd love to tell you a different name because he just – everyone kind of has already hooked their horns to him, but it's Kopech. I mean, the guy talks like a 10-year vet. He's gone through some pretty hardcore adversity with some of the stuff he went through with the Red Sox. And he just – the mental side of him might be more impressive than the physical side. And we've all seen physically the beast that he is. I mean, the workouts, the 100-mile-an-hour fastball, all of that is, you know, that's sexy. But the fact that he's able to – compartmentalize and just kind of be aware and understand that being the number one prospect in all of baseball or the number two prospect in all of baseball, that isn't just something that's given to you. That you have to kind of earn your stripes and go through the process. And the fact that he's aware of that, knows that, is always reading, trying to figure out how to meditate. We did a long interview with him today. I think originally it was supposed to be another 10 to 12 minutes. And look, we probably have 5 different 30-minute interviews now with Kopech in different ways, in cars, in workout facilities, here at spring training. We turned it around into a podcast that actually just is going out right now as we speak. He's just so open, honest, shown his vulnerability, and I think it's just going to equate to success. He wants to be great. He's thought about being great, and he's put the work into being great. I've bought in to the idea that Michael Kopech's going to be a star, and he wants to be here, but he's also aware that he knows what's going on. He understands the rebuild. He understands he's the face of it, and I don't think that's easy. I mean, he's 21 years old. I think about going back to when I was 21, you know, you think you're invincible, but you don't really think much more than that other than stating it. And this guy has everything in front of him, but he's taking it all in stride, and a lot of it's because of the adversity he's already been through in Boston with the suspension and the broken hand with punching a teammate, and obviously those are red flags and black eyes, but if you actually read into it and look into the depth of it, there's so much more than that in a lot of ways, I think, and we talked about this today, and it's on the podcast, that it might be one of the best things that ever happened to him, and it's for the person and his career. So Michael Kopech, to me, is the guy to watch in 2018. And I didn't even mention Eloy Jimenez for
six. I mean, that's the scary part. What's the craziest thing you saw Kopech lift in the workouts?
Let's see. I did the – it was 45 – the 17 45-pound plates. So 450, trying to do the math quickly in my head. And then it was another – it was like 1,200 pounds, and I did it for him. I did the math. I was like, hey, you just – that was like, you know, 1,180 pounds. He's like, is that what it was? He's like, I haven't done that. I've done 15. I've never done 17. And you can find that at NBCSportsChicago.com with Michael Kopech, the workouts in Texas. We spent 3 days with him, and, I mean, he literally is pulling 1,000 pounds. He's deadlifting like 720 pounds. And that could scare, I think – there's two ways to look at that. It's very impressive, and it's also like, why is this guy lifting that much weight? Should he be lifting that much weight? And there's a whole process to it. He doesn't do that every day. I mean, the week is built up to Friday, and that was specifically a Friday. And quite frankly, when you're doing a feature like that, you know, it's sexy to show 17, 45-pound plates barely fitting on a sled that, you know, the two of us could be standing on and he'd still be able to pull. So, I mean, we were trying to show, you know, the massive amount, but like Wednesday, he was doing a lot more recovery. So there's a whole plan in place for these guys and Kopech included. But yeah, I mean, that guy, he's a beast. He's a specimen, man. He's unique.
Yeah, I always worry when you get weightlifty guys, like whether or not they're going to be flexible enough. Yeah. That's always my concern with guys that go that hard in the gym. But from what I've seen, he takes that seriously too.
Yeah, I think their whole workout is that the body isn't meant to do crazy things like throw 105. So they try to work. So, for instance, the throwing motion of, you know, moving everything forward, your shoulders, your bodies, your hips, your legs, they work on doing things completely in reverse so you get the exact same effect the opposite way. So it's natural when you're doing like a 360-degree motion. So I was told there'd be no math involved, but I'm trying to give it to you, Lawrence.
In the last couple of minutes, you've given me a lot of great math. Have you made it over to Mesa yet?
I have. I've been at Mesa every day. I've been here. I've been here since Monday, and I've been to Mesa every single day. So
what's interesting?
I even triple dipped at one point this week.
Triple? What'd you go see? Giants?
Camelback. I started at Camelback, went to Mesa, and went back to Camelback.
Wow.
Yeah, it was the first time.
Putting those Bruce Levine miles on the car. I like that. That's good stuff. So what's interesting in Mesa?
What's interesting in Mesa is just, you know, there's a lot of buzz about just you, Darvish, it's all been about you this week. And if it's just the arrival, I mean, the media crew is waiting 4.5 hours for that money shot. And a guy pulling up and walking in, you know, the camera, you know exactly what I'm talking about in terms of just lined up, everyone trying to get the same shot.
Yep.
That was a 4.5 hour ordeal the other day when he reported and met the media. So it's all been about you, and even the follow up days. The last couple yesterday, there was like I think 7 guys that spoke in the open availability in clubhouse. 5 out of 7 were pitchers, bullpen, and starters. And 70% of the questions were about you, Darvish, reaction to you, Darvish. And so this week's been a lot about you. John Lester takes the podium tomorrow, which will be interesting. I think Lester's. He's one of my favorite Cubs in terms of just what he just kind of gives it to you, and I like that. So that'll be interesting. I mean, look, today a lot of it was about the reaction to the horrific events in Florida and Anthony Rizzo directly impacted the fact that he went back there. I mean, you already knew what kind of guy he was, but the fact that he's at ground zero and in the community and then kind of everybody just reacted to that. And Joe Maddon was just very impactful today. Chris Bryant made a lot of Vegas comparisons. The fact that the Cubs' two biggest, you know, Brizzo, the faces of the franchise were both directly and indirectly involved in something like this in the last 4 to 6 months. It's just been, you know, it's hard to even put into words. So a lot of that today, I'm sure when Rizzo comes back next week, that's kind of a national story, to be honest with you.
For sure. Guff, I want to give you a couple minutes. Promote the White Sox Talk podcast. What do people need to know?
Well, if you haven't hopped on yet, what are you waiting for? Let's go. I mean, Rick Hahn's bringing it up in his press conference yesterday. I mean, I'm being kidding. That's very self-serving, but I appreciate that, Lawrence. Chuck and I certainly have a lot of fun doing it. Chris Camp is a big part of it. We have a lot of guests. Our guests are kind of drive it. We have fun doing it, but the guests are driving it. And then all the people who listen and subscribe, that's the biggest thing. I mean, subscribe to the podcast. We do it every Tuesday guaranteed. And then as news breaks and then when we're at spring training, something like this, you know, we pump them out left and right. So we did one Tuesday. We did one today. I think we're looking at trying to get Nate Jones and Hector Santiago together because they're like BFFs, and with Hector Santiago signing with the White Sox, that should be fun. We try to keep guys loose and fun and give them a different form to speak. And, you know, look, I mean, Nicky Delmonico and Jake Berger joined us at Sox Fest, and we came up with the hashtag Taste Yourself, and it's kind of those two guys haven't let it stop yet, and we're having a lot of fun with it. The players are aware of it. I think the key is if you can't have – it can't always just be serious all the time. We got to have fun with it, and these guys are human beings too, and I think – that's a big part of the podcast as we try to humanize these guys and give a different side of, you know, who they are on and off the field. And I think it's been so much fun for Chuck and I to do. The reaction's been a little bit overwhelming at times, and we certainly have fun with it. We're going to keep going.
Guff, you know I adore you. I'll see you out there.
Look forward to it, Lawrence. I appreciate you having me on as always, buddy.
That's Ryan McGuffey, senior producer over at NBC Sports Chicago. Also one of the hosts of the White Sox Talk podcast. It's a really good podcast. And Chuck is over the moon about the White Sox this year. Back after this on The Score. I had a great time talking with Ryan McGuffey. You should check out the podcast, the White Sox Talk podcast. I do a podcast over there, too, at NBC Sports Chicago. We call ours the Under the Helmet podcast. When I'm not doing it, it's J.J. Stankovitz and Moon Mullen. But during the season, it was me, Alex Brown, and Jim. We'd have a good time. So some good podcast. And Chris Komka is a part of it. That is, you talk about heavy-duty statistics. You know what? We got to get Chris back in here. Like, every 6 months, I think it's good to bring Komka in here to do that, like, thing that he does with the numbers. I do want you to hear a little bit of Rick Hahn and him name-check the guys. I'll share that with you after Nick Shepkowski is done with this scoreboard update. Shep, thank you very much. Appreciate that. This segment being brought to you by United States Traffic Network. If you're looking to add your talent to a dynamic company, United States Traffic Network seeks a motivated account executive to join the sales team. Send your resume to ustrafficnetwork.com/careers. Let's give something out right here. If you're the sixth caller to the Scores contest line, which is 312-591-6700, we will hook you up with a four-pack of tickets to the Chicago Golf Show February 23rd through the 25th at the Donald D. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. For more information, visit chicagogolfshow.com. Did I tell you about where you can find some good legal help if you needed it? Well, if you need legal advice by a reputable attorney, send questions that you want answered to cbschicago.com/legal advice or look online for free Legal Fridays with Horowitz, Horowitz & Associates at cbschicago.com/legal advice. So we were joking about Rick Hahn name-checking the White Sox Talk podcast, right? Damn it, I did it. I just did it, Shane. I added right to the end of the sentence. Ugh!
That's inside baseball, Lawrence.
Yeah, but you know. So when we were talking to Ryan McGuffey about this, I thought it was important that you hear from Rick Hahn. As excited as those guys are, and I know some other people are too, the three of us that are here in the studio, myself, Shane, and Herbie, are all White Sox fans. We all think that they could be better by the end of the year. But Rick Hahn is doing a really nice job of letting people know that, look, man, this is only the beginning of what we're trying to accomplish.
Oh, 100%. No, look. We love the excitement that not only is coming out of that clubhouse, but from our fans as well. I know there's been various podcasts talking about whether we're ready to win. There's been articles written about, you know, is this team ready to contend for a wild card? At the same time, we're not going to do anything to stifle that level of excitement. At the same time, we know we're 1 year into a rebuild. These things traditionally take longer than that. We're thrilled with the progress we've made in the last year, but we know we still have a fair amount of work to go in this process. Again, you've heard me say repeatedly, this is an important year from a player development standpoint. You've heard me say that some of that development occurs at the big league level. So as more and more of these young guys continue to matriculate and become part of this big league club, there's going to continue to be development, but if that comes also with a level of enthusiasm and then success that is earlier than anticipated, fantastic. That's a great approach for these players. It's a great mindset for them to have their eye level higher than people outside the organization might feel is appropriate at this time. But we know where we're at. We know we're 1 year into a rebuild, and usually those things take a little more time.
You want us to pump the brakes?
No, don't pump the brakes. It's fine. The enthusiasm's great. Again, and again, a lot of it is coming out of the clubhouse. A lot of it is coming from these players who think that they have the ability to surprise some people. And that's, again, the mentality that Ricky and the staff have helped create, that they fight every game. They fight 27 outs. They are playing their tails off to win each and every night. we want that mentality not just when we're in the earlier stages of a rebuild, but ultimately when we're in a position to contend for championships on an annual basis. We're still going to want that fight there. And the fact that Ricky and the staff has been able to create that early on is wonderful.
Good stuff from Rick Hahn. I think that he's right in telling Chuck to calm his ass down. But it is fun. By the way, the ambient sound, back cracking in the background while Rick's talking, feels good. Tony. They've done it again. I get like this. You know what? I found myself looking for baseball on TV. I was getting really mad because I couldn't find the Caribbean series on TV. Usually, like, the game's on BN or MLB will carry it. And I was sitting there like, man, I need 5 innings. That's it. I need 5 innings until the Cubs and the White Sox start playing games in Arizona. And I couldn't find it. Felt like an idiot.
Man, I take 5 innings of Phillies Blue Jays AB squad games
right
now.
Well, I mean, you're getting that. Like, that's March 1, right? That's, damn it. March 1 is when it's going to happen on MLB Network. I love that. That gets you right. You'll be sitting there in the middle, at least for me, because I work at night, sitting there in the middle of the day, like just flipping around. You're like, what's on the DVR? Yeah, I don't feel like watching that. I have, I believe, 35 episodes of Law & Order Special Victims Unit on the DVR. I'm a mark for Olivia. I really am. And Ice-T. By the way, John Mulaney's thoughts on Ice-T being on Law & Order are hysterical. Whatever. But I know that in the middle of the day, once we get to March, and I think it's a little earlier this year, I think that it's February 26th or 7th, you get that first game, and they're like, welcome to Tampa, Florida, where the New York Yankees are taking on the Philadelphia Phillies to kick off spring training. And there's dudes with 70 numbers, like, out there, and you're sitting there going, yeah. Need this. Need a little bit of baseball in my life. And then you get it, and it feels great. But it's a slow burn, because first you get the sounds. First you get the crack of the bat. You get the mitts popping. I always look forward to that when I go down to spring training. I'm a sucker for hearing the cleats on the concrete as guys are walking out to the field. I'm a sucker for that. And then you get these games that don't matter. And usually I get to go out. I get to go out there. I'm going out twice this spring. Then you get to kind of sit out and enjoy it, the Arizona style. If you haven't been and you have some discretionary income, I highly recommend it. It's fun. I'm also an Arizona Fall League guy. That's my favorite. But baseball without consequences is a lot of fun, which is part of the reason why White Sox fans last year had a great time. It's a season full of I don't care.
That's why attendance went up 1,000.
It's great. I renewed my season tickets. I changed them, though, Shane.
You were on the third baseline, what, like 148 last year or 149?
Mm-hmm. I'm going upstairs.
I like that sight line.
Me too.
Yeah, like 6 or 7 rows.
I'm going to 531. So right behind home plate.
Get yourself more games out of that for the same price kind of thing?
Well, I instead of 2 tickets, I got 4 for about the same price. So if you are not following me on Twitter and Instagram, especially Instagram, and you want White Sox tickets, you should. Because I think I gave out half of my tickets last year to people. And it was fun. It was fun to have those tickets to give to White Sox fans that genuinely just wanted to go be at the ballpark. But I give a lot out on Twitter and Instagram. So if you follow me at Lawrence W. Holmes, you don't have to follow me tonight. But once we get to April, you probably should if you want tickets. And usually I'll ask you to maybe pay it forward, you know, do something like donate to White Sox charities, you know, $25 or whatever. Do something like that. But I give them out. So follow me because that's where I give them out at most of the time. I give away a couple on the air too.
If you're into that kind of thing, you've got an MLB.com, MLB TV subscription on February 21st, televised on MLB TV.
Don't you mess with me, Shane!
Arizona Sun Devils at the Arizona Diamondbacks, 3:05 Eastern.
Arizona State Sun Devils.
Did I not say Arizona State?
Yeah, man.
Ooh, that would be a problem. That could be a big problem.
If Briggs was up in here, he'd be furious.
He's got nothing up. 3:05 Eastern at Salt River Fields at Talking Stick. That will be on MLB TV. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe.
I actually might be there for that. Your boy might have to go. Check out a couple innings of that. See it live. All right, cool. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll talk with Nikki the Kid. Do that next here on The Score. My show is almost done for the night. Tomorrow, I am broadcasting from the Auto Show, live at the Toyota Display at Chicago Auto Show at McCormick Place, 2301 South Lakeshore Drive. I park there all the time now because that's where DePaul Games parking is. Shep, why isn't your mic on?
Automobile?
See?
That sits right in front of you. You would think that like this would be that, but no, it's all good.
First
automobile. Listen, Shane,
you deserve that one. You deserve.
We can have some speaks about Sunday if old Shane wants to have some speaks, but we'll just keep moving.
What happened on Sunday?
Nothing happened on Sunday. That was the problem. But
Shane, what happened on Sunday?
He had a 5-hour show. I booked him 3 guests on a slowish day, and I thought 3 guests would be sufficient. Yeah. It was him and Hub out there. It wasn't him solo. It
wasn't so much Sunday as much as Saturday.
How do we get to Saturday?
I didn't get a message about anything.
Okay, that's because my schedule had Hub solo, and I texted Hub Saturday
morning. This guy's got more excuses for anything than we gave Jay Cutler.
You better be real careful there, kid.
Nice threats going on between
that's right.
you guys.
That's what Shane does. He tries to bully you and intimidate you, and then he doesn't work for you. But
and then Shep
okay.
likes
that's
to throw
right.
you under the bus when he's between 6-inch glass.
That's right.
Oh, said you're not man enough to go over there and say it, huh?
I have been making fun of him all night for the same thing, but he gets a microphone in front of him and apparently finally grows a pair of balls. So good to see there, Shane. Good to see. Nice job, kid.
What do you got on your show tonight, buddy?
Have you been paying attention at all to Arizona State? Because I just saw something happen.
You know how the TVs are in here. I don't know if I can even change the channel.
Speaking of not working.
Did they do the curtain of distraction? Did you see a little bit of that?
I didn't notice that part of it.
They do this thing where they have this curtain while you're at the free throw line.
Okay, this happened during a free throw, but it wasn't that.
And so they do like weird stuff. Like one time they opened the curtain and Michael Phelps was there in a Speedo.
I've seen this before.
With his gold medals on.
Right. It's various.
Yeah, because he swims there.
Sure.
Like that's where he lives and he practices there. They do all sorts of weird stuff. So what did I miss?
Okay, I've never seen this happen in a basketball game at any level, let alone at a Pac-12 college basketball level, some primetime college basketball being played. An Arizona State player is at the line shooting a pair of free throws. Goes and shoots the first one, and you see the ref like kind of step in front and try to push off the free throw or block off the free throw. Like, don't shoot it. It's like, what the heck is going on? And I'm watching this without sound. I'm in the update studio, so I have you on in there.
I appreciate that.
Audio wise, but on the TV, that's what's going across. And that's what I'm seeing. I'm like, what the heck is the problem here? And I'm just kind of watching. And they eject a male cheerleader from the University of Arizona for heckling. And it's like, what the heck did a cheerleader have to have said to a player? Obviously, on the court, he's talking crap to about someone. And so I'm like, oh, so they're kicking a cheerleader out. And then they show the shot of the cheerleader, the male cheerleader, walking off. And it's like, giant bald spot. The guy did not look like he belonged in college. He looked like he belonged like at a 40s and over type of bar. Like, I'm like, what the hell just happened?
He's supposed to be in a rec league game, and he just showed up in Tempe and decided to hang out.
Did that happen with a mascot or something? Was there a famous one of like the Philly Fanatic or something getting kicked out? of a game or an event somewhere.
Wait, didn't McMichael get thrown out of a baseball game?
Yes, that was, to quote one Les Grobstein, I was there.
Was it Angel Hernandez?
Yes, it was Angel Hernandez. It was the night Ricky Gutierrez tripped over third base. And was the rundown. Eventually, he scores on the last play of the game. Girardi overruns first base and all that. And it all gets kind of lost and forgotten about because that's the night that Mongo wanted to kick the crap out of Angel Hernandez. Who knew that Mongo was onto something at that point, by the way? Of one of the biggest bags of an umpire that there are in baseball.
Who would have guessed that Mongo would have been able to figure out...
see the field clear enough at that point in order to figure out that it was a bad call at home plate.
Was he singing the stretch? Is that where...
It was right before. If I remember correctly, there was a play at the plate that did not go in favor of the Cubs. I don't remember if it was a Rockies player being called safe or if it was a Cubs player being called out. Whatever the case was, it went against the Cubs, though. And so when Mongo gets up there... He's typical Mongo and not a sober breath in sight.
Probably half in the bag.
But you just hear him.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
Oh, Shep, not allegedly. Has a cup of beer in his hand.
Times have changed a little bit of how they present this whole thing, haven't they?
I mean, and he was ready to throw down.
But he comes out and he flat out says, I'm going to have some speaks with the home plate umpire, puffs the chest out, and then Angel Hernandez from 200 feet away or whatever it is. Okay, yeah, real tough guy.
Took his mask off,
escort him out, and whatever else.
Yeah, Hernandez has some words for him. I'm looking at it now. Called him an SOB.
Hernandez did?
Yeah.
Notice how he's well out of reach when he says that.
Well,
smart thinking by Angel Hernandez.
For sure.
Probably would not have ended well. But yeah, that was
for sure.
Of the most like random, crazy, weird games you've been to, that's probably at the top of my list. Like not necessarily historic, but memorable for all of the strangest of reasons. But that's not a bad recall on your part of like kicking a cheerleader out. What the heck could the cheerleader have been saying or yelling or spewing in order to get thrown out of a Division I college basketball game?
I can think of some things. Lance told me that the Arizona State thing is a real thing. He's insane because he went to a game earlier this year. I remember I was watching the game. It's the Territorial Cup is what they call it. Arizona State. This year it was in Tempe. Okay. So I'm watching the game and I'm like, I'll go to sleep to this. The Pac-12 football, perfect. We got the Bears game tomorrow, all that good stuff. I'll get to sleep. That game, you know, Pac-12 after dark.
Goes on forever.
Lance was at the game and then showed up the next morning at the NBC Sports Chicago offices.
Did he private jet life or what?
Yes, and I was like, Boogie, I was watching that game. Like, I went to sleep watching that game. That game didn't end until midnight. He's like, man. Walked right out onto a plane and came straight here.
It's a life right there, man.
It's a long day for Boogie that day.
I'm sure. On the set. Yeah, I would assume.
It's a long day for him. But he said that he was walking around in Tempe and people were like yelling at him. Like he was with a group of ex-Arizona football players. Say,
Lance isn't a small dude.
He's not small at all. He's a giant man. And I was like, people were messing with you. He's like, oh yeah, like, they don't care. He's like, I had to remind myself.
I'd like to have seen how that would have ended. Like,
not well.
Let that one play out a little bit.
Not well at all.
Sun Devil crowd.
What are you going to do tonight?
Going to replay some of the Rizzo from today.
I think that's a good idea.
And Kelly Kroll, going to talk to her about just the strangeness that was Cubs camp today. Because there's not many times, and it's unfortunate and obviously awful, everything that happened yesterday. And sports feel like nothing in comparison to that. But the Cubs angle on this today and some of the audio that came from the locker room at Cubs camp today from the likes of Albert Almora, Joe Madden. Joe Madden stepped out for what you're used to Joe Madden being willing to comment on, was willing to step out a little bit and offer an opinion on something that he normally does not veer into a territory of. And then Chris Bryan, obviously, with his connection to Las Vegas and what happened there in the fall this year. into what happened with his teammate Anthony Rizzo in his high school yesterday.
Shep, I look forward to listening to it. Kelly Krull is a good teammate and a delightful human being. This segment brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use the Spot Hero app. Anytime you park, first-time users can enter promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. We're on the air tomorrow, 6 to 9. Thanks for listening tonight. Thanks to Shane. Thanks to Herbie. See you at 6 o'clock at the Auto Show tomorrow here on The Score.
The D is old. The D is old. The D is old.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.